He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that God came into our life? Well, I'm glad a couple of you are. I guess I'll give you the chance again. Aren't you glad that God came into our life? Yes. Well, continuing our book, for our visitors, we've been doing a book called The Ultimate Intention. It's by Vern Frommke. It's about what God really wants. It's given from the perspective, when God created man, what did God want before man ever fell? I think it's a wonderful perspective. Most Christian folks, if we could really learn this one thought or one simple bit of truth, can I say it like that? That even if Adam would have never fallen, Christ was still coming. He would not have needed to come as a redemptive savior, because there would have been no need for redeeming, but he would have come as Christ, the mature, or the one who matures us, if I can say it like that. Adam was perfect in the sense of the way God made him, but he was not perfect or complete in the fullness of what God was after. Amen? And when you and I come and we are born again, we get to see what he wants. And when we enter the waters of baptism and God circumcises the heart in Jesus' name, and he fills us with the Holy Spirit and baptizes us in fire, you know, he lets us enter in the kingdom. And really, in reality, that just puts us in the place where Adam was. And now that inwrought cross begins to work in our life. Right? Adam had an inwrought cross to live by, but he chose another path. And, you know, unfortunately, we all see the results of that, don't we? Don't we? Right? By one man, sin entered in, right? But by one man, sin was dealt with, wasn't it? Glory to God. So we talked about on page 142 in chapter 22, we're talking about the planting and the harvesting, and we already talked about John 12:24, where he said, "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth one more kernel of corn." No, much fruit. Can you imagine, seriously? I didn't even think about this till just when I said that, but can you imagine planting one seed with an expectation only one seed came out? One kernel of corn, or, you know, one little tomato, or it's not what you do. I mean, you plant one seed. We already went through this, but you plant one seed and look what it produces, right? And the coolest thing is there's a whole lot more seeds in it. Started with Adam and Eve, right? And no matter what anybody says, you can get all caught up in, there's all kinds of messages and all kinds of thought patterns about, I came from this one and I came from, you know, and they're always trying to trace natural lineage when, you know, it's real easy for me or real simple for me. I would never ever want to trace my natural lineage for this one reason. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you want to know? Well, you know, okay, so there's maybe a little bit of trivia or, you know, interest, but it's short-lived. I'm more interested, seriously, can you imagine? I mean, I'm more interested in knowing my roots to the real root, aren't you? Christ. I mean, the old root is dead, right? The old man is dead. We don't really. I'm telling you what. Flesh and blood is thick. People don't want to admit it, but it's true. Are you with me? So a corn of wheat falls in the ground and dies, right? And so we said, now God's not after just the individual, is he? He really isn't. He's after the body. He's after a body, a whole corporate man. He planted the only pure seed, right, in the ground, and it died. And it brings forth much fruit. Much. Is that not true? The farmer expects that, doesn't he? He wouldn't have, right, a farmer doesn't even plant unless he has an expectation of a harvest. But listen, even in the harvest, what God really wants to harvest, really, listen, he's not harvesting souls. That's a mistake. He's harvesting sons. Because he planted a son. He didn't plant a soul. He planted a son. Watch, if he planted a soul, it would have said, listen, first the soul man, then the spirit. No, you know, he planted a spirit man, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Well, I have a real good question for you to answer. Who was Jesus' daddy? Because the lineage is through the daddy, isn't it? It's not the mama. Sorry for the 21st century feministas. I didn't mean to say that. Are you with me? So we planted a seed, and we talked about this the other day, and I'm just reiterating some of the stuff, you know, because I didn't get to share on Wednesday, but Steve did a fantastic job. So who's next? Just come and tell me. Not this Wednesday, but if you want the following Wednesday, that's fine. We can do it every other week, whenever. Just come to me. I look for the day when you guys are all fighting over the spot. You'll get that. But we had the blade, the ear, and then that full corn of ear, right? Isn't that what Jesus said in Mark 4:28, didn't he? And how Brother Fromke here pointed out that the ear was the early church, or the blade was the early church, right? It was the, right? And the church has now grown into the ear stage, and he believes it will mature into the full corn of the ear. Because isn't that what God's after? The full corn of the ear. Can you imagine going down to your little local market? Well, now, we like to go over there to Hewitt's, right? And they have the best sweet corn there is, right? I mean, nothing against these folks over here. I bought it over here, but it just doesn't seem to taste the same as over there. They have wonderful sweet corn. But I can't imagine going down there and saying, I'm just going to buy one little kernel of corn. No, you want a whole ear, right? How many rows on that ear? Right? And, you know, one little seed grows up this stalk like this, and there's what, like 7 ears of corn on that thing, right? And then a whole bunch of rows of kernels on each one. And come on, much fruit. God's after something, isn't he? He uses these illustrations. Remember this. Remember Romans, right? Romans 1:20. He said, the invisible things, spiritual things, are clearly seen. Well, how can I see spiritual things if they're invisible? By the things that are made. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I love illustrations, don't you? Because illustrations can make you understand what God wants, what life wants, right? Do you like illustrations? Am I the only one? Illustrations are nice, aren't they? See, we think, oh, Jesus gave all these parables. No, he was trying to teach them the kingdom. Or in other words, he was trying to teach them spiritual things. And do you remember what he said? Remember what he said back? He said, if you can't understand natural things, how are you ever going to even understand spiritual things? So if you can't understand the kernel of corn, the corn of wheat falling in the ground and die, you'll never understand the whole concept of why Jesus died. It wasn't just to make you an individual Christian. It was to make you a body or a family. I don't mean to be mean, but we have so many concepts of what we think God wants that are so incorrect. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm going to destroy all of you this morning when I make this statement. But really, there's good, happy news in it. You think your marriages are going to last forever. And it's the best thing you have. But I'm here to tell you they don't. And in the big scope of what God's doing, am I right? He'll rearrange your mind. Because what he really is after, UT, is a full ear of corn. You know, when I was younger, I used to figure out, how could my wife and my children fit into what God says? And I don't care what that Bible says when it says, in the resurrection, there's neither marriage nor given in marriage. Somehow, I have to figure it out that God just hasn't explained it to me correctly. Boy, I got a hard life lesson. But I couldn't be happier. Because what he has is far greater than anything. Listen, did we not just read, that if the wild flowers of the field aren't even as important as me, that tells me he's going to take care of us in a whole different way. If I ripped open your heart or your chest right now and showed you your heart beating, would you like the sight of that? Would it gross you out, most of you? But I guarantee you, you couldn't live without that heart. No matter how ugly it looks, right? We think this is, no, what's inside of here? And I'm talking about the natural. Are you with me? So, the blade now, he goes on to explain here, the blade is the crisis stage. How many in here love crisis? Now, I don't know about you, but I think when I think of the blade in the crisis stage, like you take this little seed, right, and you plant it in the ground, and all of a sudden, it has to start busting out, doesn't it? But the first thing it does, it starts to rot and die. Now, that don't seem like much, does it? But if we put it in the context, watch this, abandoning every distraction, starting to rot and die, every thought that is Antichrist. See, we're waiting for the Antichrist, and Jesus said the Antichrist is already here. All we have to do is, let's get real simple. What does anti mean? Instead of. Now watch. You know, if all I... No. Can I say this to us? It's not a formula. It's a person. It's a spirit. Most folks can preach the same correct words, but the difference is the spirit. Are you with me? The blade sprouting is the crisis stage. The ear growing is the what? Process stage. Now, I don't know about you, but don't you, listen, ladies, do you want to have a baby? You get pregnant on Sunday and have that baby on Saturday? Oh, wait, and go to the full size that it needs to be? You wouldn't like that, would you? It's better to take time, right? So there's a process stage, isn't there? We've tried to eliminate process in the church. Can you imagine, you know, listen, why do we do that? I mean, if a baby pops out, right, you can't put them right in college. It takes a process to get there, doesn't it? Process. Well, Jesus did everything for me. No. He only brought us back to the place where we can begin where he started to begin with. Watch this. Right back to the place where he said, Adam, now you got to make a choice. See, that was the whole point of, hey, mister, can you tell my brother to give me my inheritance? Right? Because I know if you tell him what's right, I like what Jesus says. Hey, buddy, it's none of my business. You already know what to do. And you know why he told him it was none of his business? Because he could see the greediness in his own heart. Most folks love to tell someone else what they want to hear. Yeah, I don't even want to go there. Let's go. And the full ear ripening is the fruition of the goal. Can I say that again? God's after fruit. It's the goal. While most of the church lives in a realm of gifts, God lives in a realm of goal, which is fruit. Steve, can you imagine? You plant a whole garden. You see all these plants, and it never gets any fruit on it. Would you like that? And oh, by the way, Corey, why do you plant a garden? To get fruit, right? But why do you want fruit? To eat it, to consume it. Sanctification. Now, does everybody know what sanctification is? Separation, right? We've been sanctified, separated unto God. That's why he tells us, listen, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your, and be not conformed to this world. Why? Because you've been separated, sanctified. I love what Brother Reiner always used to say. We got right up out of the ditch of legalism. We ran straight across the road and jumped into the ditch of license. And so everything we say and do, we think is God. And everything's okay. No, you can't be conformed to this world or this age. Sanctification, separation, right? Sanctification in the personal experience is often a crisis which brings tremendous conflict. Now, if you grow up in a Christian home, you usually don't have too much trouble. But if you grow up in a home and, you know, if you become the one that God decides to pick out of the group, right? Then all of a sudden, there can be conflict, right? There can be a crisis. Most folks won't even understand why, hey, you know, especially if they're unbelievers, it's like, why you even want to serve God? This is primarily because the gospel has not been preached in its fullness. And souls converted under such circumstances have not had an adequate experience of salvation. They were not from the beginning aware of all they were to be delivered from, of the life they were delivered to, nor of all the means by which full realization of God's intention is to be brought about. I see three things there, don't you? It's one thing to know that God's delivered you from something. Now, most folks will talk about their drug habits or their stealing and all that. That's not what God delivered you from. God delivered you from the law of sin and death. And what he delivered you to was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. From something to something. Now, most folks will spend all their time from something because that's really what we do. But listen, we've been delivered to something. Aren't you glad that he took you out of your mama's womb so that you could do something? Nobody runs around saying, I've been delivered from my mama's womb, do they? You know, I was born out of my mama. Nobody does that. And we as a church, or we as a people, or we as Christians, even as individuals, we've been born in the womb of the morning, a new day. Right? Seriously, I'm laughing, but maybe you don't catch my humor, but nobody says on their birthday, thank you, Jesus, I came out of my mama's belly. No, we don't do that. So we've been delivered to something, huh? But that's still only two-thirds, isn't it? Two or three. What's the third thing? To have a full ear of corn. It's to bring us to fullness or have a full realization. I really think this. People, listen, can I say this? You got to give them the full truth right off the bat. God chose you so that you could be a container of his presence in the midst of a body. That's been God's ultimate intention and purpose from the beginning. He created Adam so he could live inside of his creation. Watch. The mystery hid from the ages is what? Christ in and among you all. The word you is plural. Christ in you, which is the what? Hope or the expectation of all of his glory. And therefore, let me just keep reading. Where the gospel is proclaimed in its fullness and Christ is presented as Savior and Sovereign Lord. I don't know, you know, you guys know this and I know this, but not everybody knows this. Listen. It's one thing to call him Lord. It's another thing to have him really be Lord. It's a fact. As a Savior, listen, I don't have to do anything but accept it. But as the Lord, all of a sudden, now I now am bound to him. Right? What did you say the other night? The prisoner of the Lord. Anybody know what harnesses us to the Lord? His love constrains us. Seriously, I get more jacked up. Can I use that term? I get more excited about what God's ultimate intention is. And I don't mean to be mean. Than that he saved me and delivered me to something. Because what he's really after is the thing that constrains me, propels me. How great a love. What makes my beloved, your beloved, any better than any other beloved? Because no king, no leader would give us everything that he has. When the gospel is proclaimed in the fullness and Christ is presented as Savior and Sovereign Lord, the initial surrender to him is so complete that the crisis phase of sanctification is scarcely felt. Oh my God, we should get that, shouldn't we? It would change all of Christianity. Amazing. We would only have one church. The process begins from the moment of the new life. This is as it should be in every life. But even so, it is only as objective truth becomes subjected that sanctification develops. Did you get that? I'll explain that in a minute if I get that far. I'm going to try. Sanctification must take place. Whether in one blazing experience at conversion or through painful steps of separation along the way, or later in one revolutionary crisis as the truth dawns in fullness. Did you hear me? Did you hear what he said? Sanctification must take place. Watch this in the whole man. Now, what is true of the individual is also true of every group which exists as a corporate expression of Christ's life. So you and I as an individual must be separate. But you and I as a church must be separate also. That's why, watch this. If you go out there and live like the devil, can I just use these terms so you will understand? They won't say, hey, that person they'll say, that church. Wow, is that what they teach over there? Is that the way they act over there? It's no different than, right, if you have four children and one decides to live his own life and do whatever he wants, which is totally contrary to the way that they were raised, right? Is that really a reflection on the family? It becomes a reflection on the family in the sense of, hey, look at that family. But I'm saying that individual, right? You see what I'm saying? It's no different than the church, right? If you go out and decide to live like, you become a reflection of the church, right? Even though the church may not be anywhere near that. Even though the family may not be anywhere near that. Okay? Whenever a local church has been founded on the fuller message of God's sovereignty and holiness, it avoids the need for later crises of separation and detachment. You ever wonder why God separates and detaches people? Are you listening to me? But separation must come before any church. Listen, oh, we got to read this. Separation must come before any church can be a worthy expression of the Lord. Oh, how many hurts and divisions could be prevented if God's full orb message were presented from the beginning. That's why, seriously, I state right up front, if you're here, you're only here for one purpose. God brought you here to hear and understand that he has an ultimate intention in your life, and he sets in the body as it what? Pleases him. Now, people won't like this, and I know you can run astray with everything I say, but listen, you don't get to choose your family, just like you don't get to choose your church. Wait, God gives me choices. Yeah, he presents to you what he wants. Then you get your choice, but you don't get the choice of what he's presenting. Anybody ever wonder why most of us get in trouble? It's usually based on our choices. Well, Uncle Terry and I, we're old enough, we can understand and laugh at that. But it's really true. Anybody make a decision that the moment you were making it, you thought it was the right thing to do? But only at some point later, you wish you would have really asked God? Are you with me? And oh, wait a minute. And just because everything goes wrong, doesn't mean that it wasn't God to begin with. The blade must undergo such scorching winds and dry seasons that it would seem almost to wither. Listen, this church has been trying for 15 years, but I'll tell you what, the blade has taken every beating along the way. Scorching winds, hot sun, all kinds of talk against us, even people leaving, close friends, relatives, everybody. But I'm going to tell you what, the blade is still here. Because the blade is out of a seed called Christ. And you can look upon the smallness of the blade, but God already sees. And let me tell you, you have to get the same vision he has. I see a full kernel, a full ear of corn, I mean. Listen. God didn't send four prophets along the way, two old black lady prophets in a restaurant, and I don't know how many other things along the way to tell me that I don't know what I'm doing. Because even if I didn't know what I was doing, UT, the word of the Lord does. All I have to be, watch this, and all you have to be, is obedient to the heavenly calling. That's it. I want to repent this morning. I'm far too distracted of everyday life. The stuff going on in my life, none of it's important. Because meanwhile, the world continues its process of living and dying and living and dying, seasons changing, trying to satisfy the flesh of man, when God all along has been trying to grow a full ear of corn. And when he talks about separation, sanctification, this is what he's talking about. Do we spend more time on our electronics than we do reading our Bibles? How about praying for rain? While most folks want showers of blessings, God's after the latter rain that brings the full ear of corn to maturity. I'll preach the full message from the beginning, but that doesn't mean we won't go through the crisis, the process. Yet this is God's way of bringing it to maturity and the production of the full corn of ears. See, that's what I'm after. Is that what you're after? Listen, if there has to be scorching winds and dry seasons, listen, if people come and people go, I don't care if it's for good reasons, bad reasons, it doesn't really matter. I want to see a full ear of corn. We have been brought into a corporate union, the crisis, which is this marvelous goal in view. Do you have the goal in view? But we often overlook what constitutes the process of development between the beginning blade and the mature corn. We have pointed out that separation, sanctification, is the necessary process of growth. There is, of course, the positional sanctification, which means we are in Christ. Paul addresses the Corinthian church as them that are sanctified in Christ, called saints. This is objective truth. It is presented in order that faith may lay hold of it and that we, entering into truth by the gracious activity of the Holy Spirit, may become in experience what we are by faith. See, this is the problem with the finished work, folks. Hey, I'm in Christ. I got it made. No. No. It's only part of the process of what God's doing. Listen to what he says here. Watch this. The more clearly we enter by faith into objective truth. Does anybody know what objective truth is? What is it, Carl? True regardless of what your spin is on it. It's impartial. In other words, if God spoke it, this is the way it is, whether you think so or not. That's the problem with most of us. We try to determine what God is saying. No, it's true regardless. It's objective truth. And all we can do is enter into it by faith. As long as I say, hey, it's finished, I don't need any faith. Well, no, you got to have faith to believe that it's finished. Now, listen, you can just, listen, just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. Am I right? Seriously, I don't mean to be mean, but you can go to the nut house, I mean the psych wards, and there's all kinds of people in there that believe that they're Jesus. Or they're somebody. And oh, by the way, just because you believe don't mean anything anyway. The devils believe, James said. Should I believe then? I'm not even going to answer that question. You get my point, right? But I like it. It's true. Objective truth, it is, regardless of what you think. It's objective. You ready? The more clearly we enter by faith into objective truth, or what is true of us in Christ, the deeper, the more experimental and practical will be the subjective work in us. And more complete will be the exhibition of its moral effect in our life and character. Listen, if we enter into objective truth by faith, if we truly do it, you can't help but allow the Holy Ghost to begin to make you subject to that truth, where you begin to watch this become it. Truth isn't really true until you live it. We've tried to do the opposite. We've had a mental ascent. And do you need to know what's true? Of course you do. But it doesn't become true in you or truth in you until we express it. And what God's after is fullness, isn't he? A full ear of corn. And I don't mean to be mean, but it's not black or white either. as we grow, the more we put on, right? That's why he says put on. Is that a one-time put on? I die what? Daily. We have the greatest God in the whole wide world. He made a man, and that man messed up major, and we've all paid the price for it, right? Come on, we all, it says, listen, not just not man, but all of creation. It says we were subject to vanity, not by choice. But God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, reversed the curse. So that now you and I can be put right back into the place. You know, when he stood on the, when he was on the cross, and he said, today you are with me in paradise. Listen, what he was saying to him was this. Listen, I put man right back into the position where he fell. I've now seen them redeem and join, and man now can become what God had promised from the beginning. You know, people, while they struggle, is it by works or is it not by works? Listen, you have to understand the concept of what God's doing. This is why Paul said, avoid vain questionings. Watch this. If it wasn't doing something, you wouldn't have to overcome. But if you think I can do it in my human strength, you'll never do anything anyway. All of a sudden, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. And there becomes this joint union, this jointness, this oneness. Two become one. That's the whole point of marriage. Really, the truth of the matter is, if you really understand, true marriage is this. It's so you will know how to function in the kingdom. Oh, by the way, that's why I liked it over there when he says, listen, as long as you're always crying and trying to get your own way, you won't enter the kingdom. And the reason is because you never got the fundamental principle about any relationship. And that you have to die or abandon every distraction. For what? The Holy Ghost. I got to get moving. I have 3 minutes. Are you ready? And if you don't believe me, you can stand up. That was a trick. Nobody stood up. So you all believe me that I'm going to quit in 3 minutes. In response to our faith, the Holy Spirit makes the truth revealed to our hearts, enables us to make it true in our lives. Did you hear that? The words sanctification and holiness are practically interchangeable. They both have twofold thought of purification from and separation to. Listen, you understand that. The terms are backward and forward and looks at the same vein of truth. We make a great mistake if we limit either word to mean purification from sin. That's true. It is purification from sin, but that's not the whole story. Remember when the Queen of Sheba said this, I've only heard half of it. We need to hear the whole or the full. That which is purified from is also separated to God in order that it may be a glorious vessel for the manifestation of Christ's glory. I thank God he delivered us. If you were a drug addict, a sinner and all that, I thank God. But you know what's more important? Is what are the manifesting fruits in your life? I didn't say gifts, I said fruits. When I can look at your life and say, man, that man or that woman of God, they're stable because God is in them. They don't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine like children. But no, God has planted something inside of them that's bringing out maturity. And I know it doesn't take overnight because it'll take a process of time. But yo, if you see the end result. The biggest concern I have, it's no different in the natural as it is in the spiritual, is when we become sluggards and lazy and we let, listen, the cares of this life, and watch this, junk food for the soul and entertainment for the flesh rob us of our true identity or expression of Christ. Can I go to the movies? Can I play games? Can I do? Of course you can do all that, but don't neglect. Our problem is neglect, Steve. If you don't change your oil in your car, sooner or later, watch this. If you have an oil-burning car like Dale and Sherry, if you don't check it sooner or later, you'd be driving down the road and... See, somebody should have stood up. That which is purified from, okay. Sanctification, holiness, always has this goal in view. Our obedience, did you hear that? To the heavenly vision of what God intends, bringing the powers of heaven down to earth to make us heavenly in nature, in disposition, in character, in conduct. This is what God wants, doesn't he? Thus Christ is manifested now in individuals in a limited measure, but later in fullness through the body in ages to come. You can stand. I'm done. Corey, he wants to fix me and you as individuals. But the only reason he wants to do that, Carl, is so he can set us in a body. That's right. We were talking about this the other night, right? About our little pinky toes. Our toes, they don't seem to... That was yesterday, wasn't it? They don't seem all that important to us until we whack one, lose a toenail. You know, that little pinky toe I have, man, that's one butt ugly looking thing. I don't like the toenails, but lose it, right? And sometimes we think things are so insignificant in our lives or in the body of Christ. But God, I don't get it, right? There's some things I look in nature and I'm like, what's the point, right? But God, right? He knows. He's far smarter. But the problem we have, he's given us the mind of Christ. We just need to use it all the time. Mm-hmm. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, God. I don't know about you guys, but I thank God for his word. I like this. Strong meat. Not lots of dessert, right? We like dessert around our house. Tiffany's a junk food junkie too, but listen, strong meat belongs to those that are what? Mature. The truth of the matter is the reason we like sugar. We'd rather eat sugar than eat food. Kids, immaturity. Not trying to be mean, but God shows us things in the natural. Father, we love you. Oh, we really love you, God. And I pray, God, that our love grows in a greater dimension. God, our desire is to get close to you. But desire alone won't do it, God. We must act on our faith. So we can become a living truth, a living reality within us. God, I bless this people as we leave this place, not as individuals, but as a corporate identity. Because the corporate anointing, the anointing on one of us is not even equal to the anointing on all of us. We love you, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you, God.